Well, good morning, ladies. It's great to be with you guys again as we continue our study this fall on Proverbs 31. And as Kristen said, the cool thing about this passage is that, again, we're looking at how God wants us to have wisdom in all of these different areas of our life. It doesn't mean that we're going to, that we just got to try harder and do this. And yes, we need to put effort into things. But I'm just reminded again of that passage in John 15 about the vine and the branches. And I feel like we are the branches, and our goal is to be connected and to remain to the vine. He's the power source. He's the one that infuses us with wisdom. So as we abide in him, as we remain in God, he gives us the strength and the ability to do what we can't do in our own strength. Does that make sense? So as we kind of go into this, remember that is kind of the overarching theme as we continue this on Proverbs 31. So what we're going to do is, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. I wanted to go back to verse 10. I'm going to be focusing this morning on verses 16 to 18, but again, I want to read it in context of everything. So let's start Proverbs 31, verse 10, and I'm going to focus, like I said, 16 to 18. A wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. This is where we're going to be focusing on today. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. So this morning, what I'm doing is I'm taking those three verses and we're going to be focusing on these three qualities. Number one, thriftiness. Number two, energetic. And number three, industrious. Those are the three things we're going to be focusing on. Thriftiness, energetic, industrious. So if you would pray with me, let's just ask the Lord to come and teach us and have the Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning as we dive into this. Father, again, we're grateful to gather here this Friday morning. I'm thankful for these ladies. I'm thankful that we can just study your word. And I pray that you would help us as we dive into this passage, that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us and show us how we can have wisdom in these different aspects of our life. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So the first one is thriftiness. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands and plants a vineyard. The definition of thriftiness is a person or their behavior, using money and other resources carefully and not wastefully. So this signifies that this woman had money. She had financial means. She was wise in her buying and spending, and she made financial decisions carefully and not impulsively. So I wanted us to think about us. What kind of spenders are we? How do we make financial decisions? Do we take time to look at the pros and cons of how we spend our money? Or do we tend to be a little more impulsive in our spending? Do we seek wise counsel from others? Or do we just kind of do what feels right at the moment? Can our spending be an idol or even a vice? Tim Keller, in his book, Counterfeit Gods, gives the definition of an idol, and I really like it. He says, it's an object of trust that takes the emotional and practical place of God. I'm going to say that one more time. An idol is an object of trust that takes the emotional and practical place of God. Can our spending, can our thriftiness, or how we use our money, tend to be an idol? Let me give you guys an example. We're having a bad day. We're in emotional turmoil. We are feeling a lot of the feels, as I say. And we kind of want to escape and just do something because we want out. We don't want to think about whatever we're dealing with. So we go out, we spend money, we buy something because it makes us feel good, because it kind of gives us comfort. It kind of gives us that peace. It kind of gives us that rush. And we do it because we're kind of escaping the real issue we need to be looking at. So instead of leaning into God, instead of going to Him, we use our money as a way to escape, as kind of a vice to make us feel good at the moment. Does that make sense? I think all of us have done that to some level or not at different times. I know I have. And I go, how am I using my money in a wise way versus just in a vice to get me out of a situation because I'm having a bad day? Does that make sense? So how do we handle the money and the resources that God's given to us? The woman in Proverbs is seeking God's wisdom in her finances and her spending. Sometimes God wants us to wait versus experiencing the instant gratification of buying what we want now. What is your financial action plan? Do you guys have a budget? If you're married, do you discuss your financial spending with your husband, or is that a source of tension? I know that our church offers a wonderful financial workshop by Dave Ramsey called Financial Peace Workshop. It's a wonderful thing. If you haven't been a part of something like that, and this is an area maybe that you're struggling in, for you to even consider going to. I know I have read Dave Ramsey's book that him and his daughter put together, and it's all on teaching your kids how to be financially responsible. Now, I have twin 8-year-olds, and when my girls were around 4 or 5, we were trying to figure out how do we teach our kids to work, to understand the value of work and doing chores and being responsible at home. But in the book that Dave Ramsey does, he says you want to teach kids the value of money is based on work. So he has this great little strategy he puts together in the book, where, and these are for more littles, this is for little kids, but they challenge you to have 3 different envelopes. So what my kids do is we got a little chart, and, you know, make your bed, tidy your room, put your laundry in the thing, help with, you know. So we have the little things we do, and they get stars, and then at the end of the week, we add up the stars, and it's payday, you know, and we give them money. But we have 3 different envelopes that we do the money in. So we have the save envelope, where they save. We have the give envelope, where they give, either they tithe or they give to others. And then spend. And that's what they can do to spend their money. And they can spend it on whatever they want. Sometimes they make good choices. Sometimes they don't make good choices. But even in the bad choices, they're learning. Does that make sense? So we're trying to teach our girls this. And one of the things we do with give is I teach them about tithing and giving money to the church. So some Sunday mornings, you'll see my girls, they're going back to the little black offering thing, and they're putting their little money in the thing. But another option they have is we support 2 twin girls in through Compassion International in Tanzania, Africa. And I had been praying that we could find twins, just because my girls get to be like pen pals with these girls. So they write them letters, they send little pictures, and their names are Magrith and Veronica. So, probably 2 or 3 times a year, we get pictures and letters from these girls. Well, a year ago Christmas time, you have an opportunity to give a little bit more money, you know, during the holiday season, so that these kids can have Christmas gifts. So I explained this to my girls, and they're kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, they weren't, like, totally into it, but we're like, this is what we're going to do. And so we took money out of the give envelope, you know, to give the girls. And probably January or February, we get a letter, And I go, girls, we got a letter from Veronica and Magris. And they're like, really? We want to see it. And in the letter, these little sweet girls are wearing these big pink dresses and white tennis shoes. And my girls are like, Mom, did our money buy that for them? And I'm like, yes, that's what it was. That's the money in the give envelope. My girls were so excited, they ran upstairs to get their three little give, save thing. They took all their money, all of it, the spend, the save, the give. They took scotch tape and they started taping all the dollar bills. They're like, Mom, we got to get them more clothes. Like, we have lots of stuff. We need to give it to them. And I'm watching this and I'm blown away. Because I see in my girls this excited, generous heart, and I feel like the Lord going, but Kim, do you have a heart like that when it comes to giving? Would you run up and grab all your envelopes and money and want to give it to someone in need? I don't know if I could be honest and say I did. I think that I hold back a little bit more. I'm a little more selfish when it comes to that. But I saw such a visual picture of what it is to have a generous spirit. And isn't it how interesting how sometimes God teaches that through our kids? Because they were so excited of how the money they had and how that was giving to others. The thing that I saw in this whole concept of thriftiness is it really comes down to a heart. It doesn't matter how much money we have or how little money we have. It matters what is our heart. How do we value the resources that we have? And if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, we're going to look at this concept a little deeper. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Jesus is talking to the disciples here. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on heaven where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is the key point. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do we treasure? What do we value? What is our heart? What do we spend our money and time doing? Because what we spend our money and time doing is really what we treasure. Verse 22. The eye is to the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So as we look at this area of thriftiness, how can we say, Lord, give us wisdom in our spending? Give us wisdom with this money that you've given to us. The second area is energetic. Verse 17 in Proverbs, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong to do the task. What is your attitude towards work? What is your attitude towards hard work? Is it energetic? I would say for me, that depends on the task. If it's something I like, if it's something I'm passionate about, sure, I can have energy. But if it's something that's mundane, if it's something that I consider a little boring, repetitive, laundry, dishes, errands, grocery shopping, you know, all those types of things, maybe I would procrastinate. Maybe I'm a little more lazy. Maybe I'm a little more complaining and grumbling with those tasks. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24. I love this verse because it's always challenged me on my attitude and what I do, what I do. In Colossians 3, it says, whatever you do. Okay, so I want you to think about that. What do you do? Do you work in an office? Do you work in the home? Do you work part-time? Do you volunteer or serve a lot? You fill in the blank. What do you do? Because the passage is saying, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It really changes our perspective a lot when we realize who are we working for. See, it doesn't matter what the work is. It matters the attitude in how we do it. So, am I doing this just to please a boss or just to get affirmation or just so I can get the attaboys? Or do I do my work as unto the Lord? How is my attitude in work? Another example is Colossians 3:17. And again, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God the Father through him. I always would struggle with these passages where it's like, do it all for the glory of God. Because I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean to do something for the glory of God? And there's an author named John Piper, and he wrote a book, and he talked about this concept, and he had a phrase that has stuck with me for years. And he says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. So do you guys realize it doesn't matter how mundane the task or how in the spotlight what you do is, it really comes down to what's your attitude? Are you satisfied in him? Because if your heart is content in your walk with the Lord, you can do laundry for the glory of God. You can do the dishes yet again for the glory of God. You can do the carpool lane for the glory of God. But so many times I'm not doing it for the glory of God. Why? Because I'm complaining, I'm grumbling, I'm mad, I'm jealous, I'm prideful, I'm everything else. Does that make sense? I was reminded of this concept when I was talking to a friend of mine. Well, here, before I say that, I want to divide it in two areas when we look at our work. Mental energy and physical energy, okay? So under mental energy, that comes down to attitude, all right? Our focus and our attitude and why we do it. What is my attitude each day? Many times, it's a little complaining and grumbling. For example, like I said, I have twin 8-year-olds. I don't know if anybody else experiences this, but I just get the kitchen cleaned up, all right? One room in the house looks somewhat clean. Then I go into the family room. I'm like, what happened to the family room? I thought the family room was clean. Now it's a mess. Then I go up the stairs and the little dirty socks and the little dirty shoes and the trickling of toys. Remember, we have the star chart. They're supposed to be doing their jobs, right? We have the little, we're earning our money doing these things. And I sometimes just feel like it's always a mess. Like we go from one to the next to the next. And I was lamenting with a friend of mine the other day about this. She has twin girls, but her twin daughters are in their 20s. They're grown out of the house, adults. And she's listening to me and, you know, kind of laughing. And she goes, you know what, Kim? There's days when I would kill to see little dirty socks on the floor again. She goes, I would kill to hear the pitter-patter of little feet and see all the dirt stains in the carpet. And I'm hearing this, and I'm going, yeah, I get what she's saying. Because so many times I get annoyed with the season I'm in, I forget to enjoy the season I'm in. I'm annoyed that, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and then before we know it, we're gonna miss it and we're gonna be in the next one. So how do I have an attitude of work, of making the most of the season I'm in versus complaining to try to get out of it? Does that make sense? I know I've shared before, I've had different friends of mine that have, or people I've known that have going through cancer and who've been very sick. They would kill to make dinner for their family. They would love to pick up the carpool. They would love to go out to dinner with a friend, but they're too weak and sick, they can't do that right now. So much of our attitude and perspective comes why we're doing it. So do we have the mental energy to go, Lord, give me wisdom to celebrate each day of life and make the most of the work he's given to me today? So with that, we also have the physical strength. So we have the mental strength and the physical strength. Now this, we would think, is probably a basic concept, but yet how difficult it can be for us. How do we take care of ourselves physically? The basic questions. Are we sleeping? Are we eating right? Are we getting exercise? Are we taking care of ourselves physically so that we can work hard with the work that God gives us? Does my family see me? And I will admit they probably have this month of September, because it has been a crazy month for our family, running out of an empty tank or a full tank. When I start to go, and I'm probably there right now because this has been a busy month for us, to go, all right, I'm kind of hit the limit. I need to scale down. I need to say no so that I can get the physical rest I need, make sure I'm getting exercise, make sure I'm eating somewhat healthy so that I can do the work vigorously that God wants me to do. And sometimes by doing that, I need to say no to other things. So again, we see this woman thriftiness in her financial spending. We've seen her taking care of herself mentally and physically so she can work vigorously. And the last quality we're going to look at is industrious in verse 18 of Proverbs. It says, she perceives her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. So what we're seeing in this quality of being industrious, am I disciplined in life schedule so that I can have balance in my life? See, I know when I have balance in my life, there's kind of a nice equilibrium going on. When there's no balance in my life, I see things like, as my husband says, I'm a little edgy, a little irritable, little impatient with my kids. I can sense when I'm out of balance. I know when I'm out of balance and what I need to do to get back into that. Because we want to do work that's excellent. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Again, it kind of comes back down to this question I asked you guys before. What do you do? What is your work? Whether you think it's amazing or more mundane work, your work matters, and it's valuable, and it's important. It's going to look different in different seasons of our life, but there's purpose in it. Why? Because God created it. God's the creator, and he created us for hard work. We get fulfillment and joy and pleasure out of working. It's something he created us to do. But in our work, we have a choice. We can do it with excellence, or we can do it kind of humdrum, bare minimum. And we've all done that. I mean, we've all done stuff well and not so well. But do you realize your work can be such a testimony of the gospel in the lives of other people? Have you been somewhere where you're seeing someone who's doing just excellent work and you're inspired? You're like, what motivates them to work so hard? What motivates that person to do as well as they do? And you're kind of inspired by it as you watch them. Do you guys realize, as Christians, when we step out and do excellent work, that could be one of your greatest testimonies? More than even going through a gospel track or whatever, like your work and how you do it with integrity and honesty and excellence can actually be one of the greatest examples of giving people a leadway into sharing the gospel of why you do what you do. Does that make sense? But yet, on the other hand, our laziness, our mediocrity can actually be a huge stumbling block in the lives of other people. If they see us doing things dishonestly or deceptively or just kind of halfway done, that actually can be even more of a deterrent. So as we look at this concept of work, what kind of worker are you? Do you do your work with excellence? Do you just do the bare minimum? I mean, even as being a stay-at-home mom, it's not like I have, you know, a boss I'm reporting to, you know. But I know where I can start to get a little lazy, you know. It's like little Netflix, little social media. Not that those things are bad. We all need to have a little movie downtime or be able to keep up with people. But when does that start to become the vice, the escape, the idol? Does that make sense? There's always that line to be looking at. Because I'm still to be doing my work with excellence, but I recognize I need God's wisdom. Back to what I was sharing at the beginning in John 15 about the branches and the vine, I gotta be connected to the power source. I gotta be connected to him so that he can be the one that gives me the strength and wisdom to do what I can't do in my own strength. Does that make sense? So as we look at this thing about being industrious, how well, or again, what kind of worker are we and how well are we doing that? As we conclude this morning, I want to look at those three areas again: thriftiness, energetic, industrious, looking at our work. Is there any area where you're like, oh man, I need a kind of process this with the Lord and say, God, how can you give me more wisdom in this area? I hope as we kind of transition into our discussion groups today, there's some food for thought for you guys to think through and questions to kind of process how God can give us wisdom so that we can grow into a more godly woman, not so we can go, oh, look at us, we're so godly, but that we can live lives of wisdom and influence in the people's lives that we're surrounded with today. So let me pray for us this morning, and then I'm going to dismiss you guys into your groups. Father, we again thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us the ability supernaturally to do what we can't do in our own strength. I just pray right now that you would continue to guide us and direct us as we go into our groups today and process some of this information. Holy Spirit, would you encourage us? Would you convict us? Would you comfort us and challenge us in the areas that we need to grow? We just love you so much and are so grateful that we can be here this morning and be with the women in our tables today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, have a great morning in your groups today, you guys.